One of the most important discussions in the gaming industry right now concerns a game called Dark and Darker, a game that was recently removed from Steam, a phenomenal game that is under allegations that it was stolen from a company called Nexon. There has been a ton of information around this topic, and we need to make sense of it. This is a video that answers the questions that everybody is asking. Is there legitimacy to Nexon's claims that this game is stolen? Is what Iron Mace is saying correct? What is the actual truth of this, and how do we break it down? And I have spent a ton of time sourcing this, so join me on this journey to figuring out the real truth behind Dark and Darker. And it turns out, I found out that this actually has implications to the entire gaming industry, and it goes way deeper than what we thought. All right, so this whole thing begins here on August 5th in 2021, where Nexon showcased 12 new games they were making. And one of these games, if you scroll way, there's a lot of games here, but if you scroll way down, you're going to see a kind of familiar image that is here. It's called P3. P3 was a project that is a survival dungeon experience with internal to Nexon. And it was alleged that they were working on it for some time under a couple of big names that you're going to hear over and over again. So the first one you're going to hear is Ju Hyung Choi. And that is the lead dev of P3 at the time. Now, he actually left later, and we're going to talk about that, and went to form another game studio with another person, a person named Terrence Park, who is the current CEO, also known as Parkmo, who is the current CEO of Iron Mace Games, the people that are developing Dark and Darker. And everything was hunky-dory, basically, but the first thing that happened was that COVID hit. So the development of P3 was basically happening within Nexon, and then COVID hit, and everybody had to go home. So what happened was Mr. Choi basically asked Nexon, hey, since everybody's at home, I need to keep developing for P3. Can I have a server that sits at home and I can work on it with my employees? And Nexon said, sure, that's fine. And that went on for about a year as the COVID lockdowns continued. But then after a year, so after 1 year of working on P3 at home with team, Mr. Choi asked Nexon again if it was still okay to have the data at home on his personal server. At this point, Nexon says no. Choi agrees to that, as far as we know, and starts to remove files, but apparently keeps some stuff running. And in the response from Iron Mace to the situation, they actually confirm that. So they actually say, okay, they did have the data, and they did keep it. And at this point is where we start to see the problem. So shortly after this, and now we're at June 2021 in the timeline, Nexon accuses Mr. Choi of stealing the files from P3. Basically transferring them off his personal server onto another server somewhere else. And here is where everything begins, all right? After this, and right during this point, both Terrence Park, who was the secondary developer and now the CEO of Iron Mace Games, and Mr. Choi leave Nexon to start a game studio. And 9 people from the 20-person team at Nexon go with them. All right. And then about 6 months-ish later, we have Dark and Darker. So that's basically the chronology of what happened. The first announcements were here in August, and I'm going to show you so many resources. Oh, my goodness. So this is kind of the first announcement of P3. You can sort of see a lot of the products they're working on, including P3 down here, and a little bit of an explanation of it and what it is. So all this goes on and the development. And so the lawsuit actually begins. The actual lawsuit begins in July of 2021, very shortly after June 2021 when it was accused. And the lawsuit, this is where stuff starts to get really important and specific. And this is the kind of information I could not find from other people. So this lawsuit, which starts here, this is the resource. And I will have a Google Doc that links all of these resources because it took an incredible amount of time to find. And there's a lot of misinformation about this topic on the internet, especially from like Reddit and places like that. So the lawsuit begins here. And the lawsuit specifically concerns a particular statute of Korean law. And this is a really important thing that we're going to, like, this is one of the most important things you're going to get from this video, is what this is about. So a lot of people think that this is a lawsuit about IP infringement, meaning that this is a lawsuit that concerns, well, this is the same game that was made, and we want to take this down under DMCA because this was the same game as P3, and they can't do that. But what this lawsuit actually is a lot more important. It is a lawsuit concerning the Unfair Competition Prevention and Trade Secret Protection Act, okay? So Nexon is not alleging, necessarily, that, or really it doesn't matter, that the game is the same as, whether it is or not, the P3 game being the same as Dark and Darker is not as relevant as the reality that of what's going on here. The concept that should people who are working at a company and have trade secrets, you're going to see that come up again and again, that have trade secrets, that know something internally about a project, should they be able to take that project and then go build that project on their own, basically walk out of that company? And you're going to see, I'm going to show you a take from the most popular video on this is from a person named Moist Critical. Now, Moist Critical and I go pretty far back, but he has a take here that's kind of interesting that I want to listen to. And that's going to kind of frame what we're about to talk about. So let's listen to that take right here.
But this especially, and I'll go a step further. Maybe we're getting into dicey, spicy territory here, but I'm just going to say with my whole chest, if all of Nexon's claims are accurate, Dark and Darker did take that idea from Nexon and build upon it. And even if they used a couple of assets that they developed while working at Nexon, I don't give a fuck. In fact, I view them more as heroes. I respect them more if they did that. Because Nexon can suck the dirtiest part of my asshole. I cannot stand that company. I think that would be great if that really was the case.
All right. All my homies and I love Charlie, but I actually think this is kind of a more nuanced take than that. So Charlie's take is like, sure, like let's say that this actually did happen. Who cares? Like, let's let everybody go out of a company and go build something on their own. And I think this is kind of the opinion of a lot of people that loved Dark and Darker and people that have that opinion. Now, look, I'm about to say some pretty crazy stuff. So I'm just going to click on this button right here. I'm going to drag it over. And you're going to see on my Steam, this is my Steam, see Devin Nash right there, okay? Playtime, 72.9 hours on Dark and Darker, okay? I am an enormous fan of this game. Like, I cannot tell you how much I loved this game and want it to come out. I am one of you, okay? So the stuff that I say in here is my best take at trying to give a non-biased opinion, all right? So there is something bigger at play here than just Dark and Darker coming out, which I really, really want to happen. All right, and the example I'm going to use is, let's say Blizzard is building Diablo 4, okay? And that there's a lead dev on that project, okay? And maybe some other devs. And those devs say, you know what? Like, it's like 6 months to a year or a year and a half into development. You know what? We don't like really like Blizzard or Activision or kind of like what they're doing. They kind of have the predatory pay-to-win mechanics, and like they're kind of turning this game into something that we don't want. So we're going to go take all that stuff, and we are going to leave. And we're going to build Diago 1, and it's going to be a game about angels and demons that fight each other with ARPG elements where you run around a world and kill monsters. But it's not Diablo 4, it's Diablo. And anybody says that it's not that it's Diablo is wrong, and we could do it. Okay, so, like, should they be able to do that? That is really what the entire thing of this is going to be about. And as we get into the really deep legal stuff, that is what this is about. Should people be able to walk away from a company with the knowledge that they have from that company and then immediately build a project and just quit and do it? Now, Charlie thinks that they should. And I think that the issue is a little bit more nuanced than that, because if this court case, to be clear, will set that precedent, if it doesn't settle in Korea, it will figure that out. And what Nexon is coming after Iron Mace for, I think a lot of people think that Nexon is like a really bitter company that's coming after Iron Mace because they are angry about Iron Mace's success. But everything that I've seen really points to Nexon being concerned that if they set this precedent that Iron Mace did, then what's just going to happen is that they're going to have like 8 projects they're working on within their company. And then anybody that just doesn't like what the company is about is just going to walk and go create their own game. And that kind of sucks for anybody in America or Korea or really anywhere that is trying to make games, right? Like if you're trying to make a game and you're a big studio and somebody just walks with that information, that kind of makes it really difficult for you to want to invest millions and millions of dollars into building games. So I just like to take, if you can, please, if you can, I know it's hard. take away everything we love about Dark and Nerdy. Take away the personal stuff. Take away the truth that is, like, Nexon really incentivizes pay-to-win mechanics in games and makes some really harsh pay-to-win mechanics in games. I understand all that, and I vibe with that. But we have to look at the gaming industry overall and say, what does this mean if this precedent is allowed? If this precedent is allowed that two employees that ran the project can walk with half the team over to another company and just build that game 6 months later, what does that mean for Blizzard? What does that mean for companies like 2K Games? What does that mean for every company that is investing millions of dollars in intellectual property and trade secrets to make games happen? That really will set a precedent that will change the whole gaming industry. So if you understand that, you kind of understand why Nexon is upset. And look, there's some bitterness that we're going to discuss in a little bit from Nexon that I think they are bitter in some ways, but we need to continue at this moment. Because I want to show you this, because after, if you're following the chronology, we're now in the lawsuit, right, in July 2021. But now where I think all of you have picked up is on Nexon requesting a police raid and substantial investigation. So the lawsuit at this point is ongoing, all right? But now, here in March of 2023, or I think this was February last month, a police raid happens. And that police raid is asked for in accordance to Article 215 of the Criminal Code. One thing that's really important to understand about Korea versus America is that Korean law system is what's called... let me just get this exactly right. The Korean law system is a little bit different than America's law system. So South Korea has what's called a civil law system, which is based on written codes, statutes, and regulations. And the United States has a common law system, which is based on the individual sort of case interpretations of things that happen when they go to court. So that means that, like, the law of the letter is much more important in Korea than it is in the United States. And that's going to help define later, as we're going through this entire thing, you're going to figure out what is likely to happen as a result of that sort of law system in this case, okay? So, Article 215 just says seizure, search, and verification. When necessary for criminal investigation, a prosecutor may request the district court to judge, seize, search, and verify in accordance with warrant issued, limited in cases where the circumstances suspect the suspect has committed a crime. So the crime is, again, going back here, that the violation of the Unfair Competition Prevention and Trade Secret Protection Act. It's not a DMCA issue. It's not an IP infringement issue. They're saying Iron Mace had trade secrets at the people from Iron Mace, the creator of Iron Mace, had trade secrets at Nexon. They violated that this statute. Let's do a police raid and go get their stuff and confirm that. So the police raid it. The police actually do that. They're like, yeah, cool. Makes sense. Everything's fine. We're going to go see if that stuff is stolen. And here you go. Here in this article, the police raid Office of Game Developer Accused of Data Theft. Now, there are some conflicting things about what happened here. Iron Mace posted on their Discord that there was nothing found and that nothing was taken. The police came up, had a very nice discussion, and then everybody left. The actual Korean police say they were there for several hours, and then they don't say what happened, and then they left. And no one really knows what the truth is here. But I'm going to say a statement here from Nexon, which says... The tech industry has long been sensitive about intellectual property and data, but the Nexon Iron Mace case is especially important as it could set a major example for future fights involving former employees developing their own games from leaked data. Should this case go unpunished, it would discourage game companies from investing in new game development and lead to a tighter grip on employees, leading to more rigid work environments. Insiders, if it becomes okay to steal assets of a company to make their own games, game companies will have no choice but to cut back on investment and new development. So that's from this article. They say this is anonymous. I'm pretty sure that's from Nexon. I guess I can't officially confirm that, so we'll just put that there. So Iron Mace claims at this point that nothing is taken. The police raid happens. Nobody really knows what happened. Now, a really important thing that happens around this time that I think everyone kind of missed in the news of this is this article here, which states that... So Iron Mace, once they had their playtests, it was unbelievably successful. Actually, over 1 million people played Dark and Darker, including myself, and loved it. I mean, it really is a... I could make a whole video about this, but it really is a throwback to the time when gaming, like, had actual risks and actual stakes, and I was so passionate about it. I loved it. I played it so hard, and I'm like counting the days from the alpha playtest that we're now going to figure out if it happens or not, because it was just such a good game. And I was the only one that noticed that. Turns out there was a bunch of investors that noticed that specifically. Tencent, you might know that name, League of Legends owner, big deal. Kakao Games, and it says Hive here, it's a mistranslation. It's actually Hybe, which is a major media partner in Korea, and Krafton. all of these investors were at the table trying to give Iron Mace money. Now, about this time this police raid and these articles happen, all of these investors pull out. This is an extremely important thing that I'm particularly sensitive to as the owner of an agency. So investors pulled out at this point of the police raid, meaning that they were in discussions to give Iron Mace money, and then they go, whoa, they saw something. Wait, right? Because we don't really know what happened with the police raid or whatever, but they saw something. Those investors saw something that scared them enough to say, we are not going to put money behind this. We're going to go kind of see how this goes. And now there are some reports. I was looking and doing some research. There were some reports that said that Iron Mace was what had a 5% investment or something, or Hive had given them $500,000 previously. I can't confirm that. There doesn't seem like there's enough reliable information to confirm that. But what we do know is that investors did pull out at this point, saying basically around March 9th, basically saying, whoa, okay, this is super spooky. And this to me is one of the scariest things if you are a fan of Dark and Darker. Because if investors pull out and they're at the table, they know something is up. And they are going to say, okay, we're going to let this play out. And now at that point, that also means that Iron Mace may not have the funding to take on a fight with Nexon. We don't really know what their funding situation is. Some people suggest they do a crowdfunding type thing, which probably be very successful because they currently have the like the media. They have like the they have the fan, they have the crowd, they have the crowd. They have like the arena is supporting Dark and Darker largely, at least in America. In Korea, it seems to be a little bit more nuanced. Okay, and so now we're at the point where the police raid happens. We don't know what happens to the police raid, but we know that Nexon is very passionate about this. Nexon also released a letter internally at this time to their employees. But from all my sourcing, I mean, you're going to see my Google Doc. I have like 40 or 50 articles. There's so much here. I could not find that letter. I came across it once a couple of weeks ago when I was reading about this, but I can't find that letter. But basically what it said was, this is a letter from Nexon to internally into their employees saying, hey, we are really passionate about this. We want to protect your work, and we feel like this was stolen. This was really bad, so like we're going to go after this. This is going to be a super big thing. And that's basically what that letter said. If anyone can find that letter in the comments, I'd really appreciate it. I'll update that drive. And then, fast forward like 2 weeks, now Steam removes Dark and Darker totally from the store, and Nexon issues an IP infringement DMCA claim to Valve, which is the owners of Steam. And that is where we get into this. The legal letter and takedown of, which is a DMCA notice. Now, remember I said that this is a trade secrets thing. So this DMCA notice is a little bit separate. And so basically the first thing that, let's just break it down. Here's what Nexon says. Nexon says, these guys stole our stuff. And you're going to see a lot of references. So on page 2, I've just got to make sure that all my notes are correct here. You're going to see they say, based on our investigation, Dark and Darker appears to have been built, developed using trade secrets as well as copyrighted information. You see that word trade secrets again, right? But under U.S. law, Iron Mace actions constitute, among other violations, misappropriation of Nexon's trade secrets. Again, once again, that trade secret law, such as source codes, art resources, etc., right? So Nexon began developing the game. We just covered that. And here are the patents that were issued in order to show that like this was like Nexon's work. But interestingly, all of these were filed in February of 2023. So this is kind of bogus because the Nexon lawsuit in Korea was happening since 2021. So Nexon basically goes and trademarks this stuff long after, even like this is after like the playtest. This is after they know that Dark and Darker is popular. That's kind of weird, right? But they're doing this. They got those trademarks so they could issue this DMCA and IP infringement case. So they're basically telling Valve, hey, these guys stole our game, and let's read this part, which is really important. Please be advised, if Valve does not take down all versions of Dark and Darker on Steam, then Valve may be liable for direct and indirect copyright infringement, as the DMCA requires Valve to respond expeditiously to remove or disable access to the material that was claimed to be infringing. Whoa. Okay, so why was Dark and Darker removed from Steam? Why was Dark and Darker removed from Steam? Because Valve has to comply with DMCA requests until the parent company challenges it. Meaning, and it works exactly the same on other platforms like Twitch or YouTube. If someone submits a DMCA a complaint, the burden of proof is on the people that were complained against. So Iron Mace has to submit a counterclaim through the U.S. law system and say, no, it is not stolen. We allege that that is not true. And then Valve will just put it back up. So a lot of people think that the removal from Steam was like the sort of pinnacle moment. It's just the one that got the most press. Valve is going to does this all the time. They have to comply. They have to, because if they don't, this happens. What exactly right here, right? Valve is not going to stick their neck out in a multi-million-dollar lawsuit case against a $20 billion company, which is what Nexon is, right? And just be like, yeah, sure. Well, we don't think that's true, so we're just going to leave it up. They don't care. Valve is a platform. So just understand that when this game got removed from Steam a few days ago as of the time of this recording, all it means is that Valve has to comply. It doesn't necessarily suggest anything about the case. It doesn't make it more or less likely that Iron Mace actually stole the game or not. None of it, right? It could have been basically the bogus DMCA claims get filed all the time. And this could have been one of them. It could have been a DMCA claim that just says, hey, you can't do this, man. This is our game. And then Valve has to be like, all right, well, until that is sorted out, we are removing that from the store. So just understand that's the case here. That's what happened. But it turns out that this letter actually is really, really informing of some of the stuff that Nexon thinks and what is really going on. So one of the major defenses that people are saying, you'll hear this in a lot of influencer videos, is that this game is not a copy because it uses a lot of Unreal assets, and that's fine, right? And you even see stuff like this, where you could see the P3 game, which is, this is Nexon's original thing. You can see Dark and Darker here, a very similar-looking wizard, and then a very similar-looking wizard again from Lord of the Rings, a very similar wizard-looking again from Warhammer, and then Chewbacca wearing a wizard hat, which also looks very similar, all right? So the argument from a lot of, I think, the public here is that, well, wait a minute, this is a game about fairies, Dungeons and Dragons, elves, and orcs and stuff. And that's, like, really the same thing, right? Anybody could talk about this stuff. It comes back from, like, Dungeons and Dragons and, like, Tolkien lore. Who knows who concocted the first word of elf? Maybe elf was from the 1400s in Ireland, where people were real elves still existed, like Shadowrun, and the first elf was conceptualized there. Like, we don't know, right? Like, so maybe it's like the same thing. So the argument from the public has been that. But Nexon actually acknowledges that argument and says, no, this is actually like a meaningful, this is the same thing, right? Like, they're not saying just because these are both fantasy games that's the reason that it's the same thing, all right? And they're also not saying, this is a really important thing, because a lot of people are, the Iron Mace themselves are kind of sitting on the defense that, like, these are just assets from the Unreal Engine. But Nexon addresses this and says, even if one takes into account that both games were developed using the same program, i.e. Unreal Engine, the number of identical file names is too substantial for mere coincidence. We put this in Exhibit D. So here at Exhibit D, we're going to go through some of this. These are patent claims. Okay. Here at Exhibit D, you're going to see a list of file names, and Nexon explicitly says these are, like, we exclude the number of files essentially included in the Unreal Engine itself. More than 1,000 files still had the same file names. So these are not Unreal Engine asset files. These are just files that Nexon is claiming they just literally stole from P3, all right? And you can just see this, like, all this stuff. So just take the Unreal, I don't actually think that the Iron Mace argument of, well, he just uses Unreal assets, really holds water here. And if you read the description here, it gets kind of crazy and sounds like pretty specific. The character designs and other setting and structural designs of Dark and Darker are suspiciously similar to the ones of the P3 game. Both showcase the same character classes, Barbarian, Cleric, Tanker, Fighter, Wizard, Thief, and Rogue, and Ranger. Okay, not really a big problem there. Again, there could be an argument made that's like, well, those are like really common D&D classes. Anybody could kind of use those classes. But then we get kind of weird. Further, the P3 game takes place in the dungeon of dark brick walls, which is intended to portray a dark and fearful atmosphere, and includes torch-related game features, which allow users to light up or extinguish torches installed in the dungeon to increase or decrease visibility. Dark and Darker takes place in that same brick wall dungeon setting, with the same torch game features. It's no coincidence the characters and settings are also aesthetically similar, and it's clear that Iron Mace used Nexon's data to create the characters and settings. Even as Iron Mace argued in media statements, the graphic assets were purchased from the Unreal Marketplace. It doesn't explain the specific assets of the characters in Dark and Darker characters that were different from those of the graphic assets available for purchase on the Unreal Marketplace, but identical to the ones in P3. The comparison of characters and setting structural designs is made in Exhibit E. And I think this is kind of the most damning thing for Iron Mace currently, is Exhibit E here. And Exhibit E, if we go down, basically puts a side-by-side comparison of both the classes and the themes, as well as the sort of, like, mechanics that happen within Dark and Darker. And this is why you're going to start to see that there might be some trouble from, in terms of, like, trying to justify that this is really a unique IP and game. A lot of these assets are very similar, but more importantly, the theme of the game, the elements of the game, the original sort of feeling of P3 has been claimed by Nexon to be the same. And I think that claim holds quite a bit of water under the Trade Secrets and Unfair Competition Protection Act, because all Nexon needs to really do is basically say, look, they couldn't have had this idea. This is a really good way to say it. They could not have had this idea if they hadn't worked for us, if they hadn't been working together at this studio, which was had ideas from all these different people and was themed in all these different ways. They couldn't have had this idea unless they were working at Nexon. There is no way that in their own vacuum that them and the other nine people could have just like built this whole game. Like, they clearly took these trade secrets and this knowledge from Nexon to create this game. So again, that's not an IP issue, right? That's an issue of trade secrets being appropriated. Like, in the exact same way that if someone in the United States is working at like Lockheed Martin and they're building like the new super fighter, they run over to Raytheon with a team of 10 people and then they build that super fighter, that would be a major issue in U.S. courts, right? That'd have to get sorted out, just like it has to get sorted out here. So, okay, so now we're caught up. We understand everything that's happening, all right, hopefully. There is still going to be a lot of arguments, like, did they steal the game or did they not, like, between the community. But so you understand, it's like kind of less important whether they did that or not. Really, what is important to determine is, was enough of the intellectual property and enough of the trade secrets that were made at Nexon relevant to basically give the enough ideas, enough thoughts to the developers subjectively to go build this game at Iron Mace? And that is really what the court is going to determine. And the court's going to determine that under some kind of interesting statutes that we're going to talk about here in this act here. So, the argument's going to continue. I don't really know the answer. I think that it's pretty damning how close it is, and that Nexon is probably going to be able to make this argument. And I think we're going to talk about that next, and like what could specifically happen, and like all the possible stuff that's going to happen. So let's do that. But before we do that, we are 26-27 minutes into a Devin Nash video. Hey, this took a lot of work. If you want to support this, please subscribe. I cover all kinds of stuff in the media and gaming industry. Also, I have a Patreon where I teach a lot of business and kind of marketing concepts, because I own a top agency in the brand space called Novo. We help brands build advertising campaigns for games like this, actually. And I, not just games, but also other places, but all kinds of different brands. We do have health, everything. But anyway, patreon.com/DevinNash is where you would go. For $5. You can get 90 videos from me. On just all kinds of different topics about business, things like that. So check that out, patreon.com/DevinNash. Join my Discord server, discord.gg/Devin, where we have discussions with stuff like this. But overall, just, you don't have to pay anything. I would just appreciate it if you subscribed. We put a lot of work into this video. I say we, it was really, I just did it. And I'd really appreciate it. So thank you guys, everybody, for supporting. And also, this is a secret call, which means if you were at the 27-minute mark, please do post in the comments that you're still here in this Devin Nash video listening to this. Thank you very much, everybody. I really appreciate you. I love your comments. Thank you so much. All right, let's get into it. Now what? Well, what's going to happen, all right? What is the truth of it? Now you understand everything. And again, I have a lot of time in Dark and Darker, so I'm really rooting for Iron Mace here. But the situation is kind of grim. Let's explain why. Well, number one, the largest companies such as Samsung, Hyundai have ties to the government and wield significant influence in various economic sectors in South Korea. So South Korea doesn't really work the same way as the United States law system works. Here over in the United States and English-speaking countries, we kind of think of law in a little bit of a different way than South Korea does. South Korea has a civil law system, as I mentioned before. United States has a common law system. The Korean legal system is based on written code, statutes, and regulations, but the U.S. legal system relies heavily on case law and judicial precedent. The difference in legal culture leads to different outcomes and perceptions regarding corporate favoritism. So South Korea has had a few examples of corporate favoritism, and generally, when thinking about the South Korean legal system, the world sort of views the South Korean legal system as being favored for corporations. Now, a big part of that is because corporations are so hugely part of Korean culture. They are in America, too. But I mean, like, they have like literal ties, like people that work in the government also work in different corporations within South Korea. And the Korean legal system has been seen in the past to have some criticism regarding corporate favoritism. Here's a couple of examples of that. So SK Group, for example, which is a major Korean corporation, was let off on a presidential pardon from the then president of South Korea and was criticized heavily as the government being too lenient with corporate executives convicted of white-collar crimes. This is for embezzling allegedly $42 million. Also, Lotte Group, another very huge corporation within South Korea, was sentenced to 2.5 years in February 2018. However, an appellate court just suspended the sentence and said, hey, it's fine, go back to running it. And everyone was like, wait, what? So there's been several cases of criticism. A lot of people think legitimate criticism that South Korean courts favor corporations. Now, Nexon is a $20 billion company, and Nexon is coming into this full swing and completely intending to set a precedent for the whole gaming industry. Because, again, because it's not so much for Nexon about P3. They canceled P3, right? So P3 was over. What it's really about is they don't want to go make the next 20 games they make, and then somebody walking out of Nexon with one of those games that's likely to be the most popular game. And instead of Nexon making all those millions of dollars, that person does. That's what they really don't want. So that is the precedent they are fighting to set, and they will put all of their resources towards that. Now, it's worth noting that in recent years, Korea has addressed these problems of corporate favoritism and tried to create separate statutes and all kinds of stuff we could get into that doesn't really matter right now. But the important thing to understand is that the United States has a very strong history of protecting individual rights, usually those of consumers and employees. So while there is plenty of criticism you can throw at the United States courts for favoring corporations and politicians and such, there have been a lot. I think most of the United States law system tries to favor individuals and can look at a consumer and say, hey, that's not right, or this employee law is like not right. We should protect the employee and the individual in this case. And that just goes back to like how United States was founded, right? It's founded on the system of individual rights. It's founded by a bunch of people throwing a bunch of tea in the water and saying, we don't like big government. So like, let's get that out of here. So that still shows up in our court system, despite the fact that corporations have become so prominent in recent years. And for the most part, United States courts could be considered to be favoring individual rights or trying to. Versus South Korea, which has a very different take, right? So South Korea, under the civil law system, has, for example, one of the issues that have come up here is that it's very hard to, like, fire an employee in South Korea. So if Nexon let this employee go, then they did it with a lot of evidence, usually, because they have to justify that under the statutes that are in South Korea. And it's not easy to fire a person. Like, Nexon wouldn't do that lightly. That'd be a very serious thing. So understanding that, you kind of understand, like, where this is going. Because this fight will be over if Iron Mace violated Korean law, specifically the Unfair Competition Prevention and Trade Secret Protection Act. And that precedent will set what the gaming industry can do going forward, which is why it's really important. So let's go over what is actually going to happen and all of the possibilities. I think there's about six, okay? And here they are. This is kind of the meat and potatoes. Whoops. Using Notepad. That's right. Number one, which is obvious, the fight will probably favor Nexon. Okay, so if you've listened to this entire video and you kind of understand all of the resources that I provided, it kind of looks like Nexon has a good case here. Let's kind of go through all the possibilities. Nexon wins totally. That's number one. The Project D&D is unable to continue. Nexon either picks up P3 again because they see the popularity, or they just trash the whole thing since it's about the precedent. And then going forward, there are stricter kind of regulations about like what employees can and can't do concerning like when they walk away from a company. Maybe there's some sort of subjective timeline. This is okay, like a non-compete that's like 6 months to a year after, you can't do anything that's like related to this IP or project, and that just has to be determined. So that's a total win for Nexon. Nexon like literally gets to redefine that law. D&D is just not able to continue. It just dies, and then we never hear from it again. I mean, like maybe Nexon. So I think in this case, there are so many people and game studios that have sort of taken note of Dark and Darker's type of success and that kind of game, the sort of like fantasy extraction type of game. There's so many people that have taken note of that they will be likely to develop that game. We are likely to see a Dark and Darker type of game come out. Who knows how long that would take? Who knows if it would be in the same style and feel that Dark and Darker was, if it would have the same vision as Iron Mace did, which in my opinion was one of the best visions of any game in the past 10 years. So a total Nexon win would probably mean the end of Dark and Darker, and that is very unfortunate, but is kind of likely to happen. Nexon wins partially. That's the second option. The project Dark and Darker can continue, but it might have to be heavily modified. So the Korean courts say, look, this was a trade infringement and trade secrets problem. Maybe we are going to hold the individuals accountable, the two people who did the majority and took this information, allegedly, right? We're going to hold those people accountable, and they're going to be subject to jail time or fines or all kinds of different stuff. That's mainly going to be those two people's problems. But we are cool with Dark and Darker continuing as long as it's heavily modified. All of the files that were taken are replaced and all of the assets are replaced to a certain sort of subjective court determination. It's like, okay, we think this is a meaningfully different product. So you go look Iron Maze. You can still work, but you need to change these things and your two CEOs are hosed. And this is probably like the most likely outcome, like a partial win. Where Dark and Darker maybe can continue in some way, but it kind of loses its vision. I worry this is might as well be as bad as a total win because it loses two main developers and its vision, and I'm not sure it could continue. But number three is maybe Nexon actually loses partially, and the project D&D can continue, and Nexon has to pay some fees, or the precedent is set that people can leave companies. Number four is that Nexon loses totally, and Dark and Darker is seen as a totally separate project and can continue, and then legal fees and all precedent goes to IM. So the Korean law says, all right, you know what? It's cool. People can walk. This is a meaningfully separate project. As long as you leave your company and you want to build a project that's similar, but you don't call it the same thing or there's some subjective definition of that, we're fine. Good to go. As much as the public thinks this is the most likely outcome, I think this is probably the least likely outcome. It's much more likely given how the way that the Korean law system works, now that you understand it based on this video, the resources that I've found, the way that this particular statute reads, which I didn't choose to go through in this video because it would take another 30 minutes and it's already going to be a really long video, but you can go read this for yourself. It's going to be linked in the Google Doc in the description, and you can see that it's like pretty clearly in Nexon's favor the way that this is written. And again, you have to understand that like Korean courts do not make the same subjective interpretations of law that United States courts do to favor individuals. They do based on statute. So the Korean law is going to be interpreted against Iron Maze in what this is said, how this is said. And there's some pretty clear statutes in here about trade secrets that favor Nexon heavily. I encourage you to read this. It's all public. I'll link it in the Google Doc in the description. All right. So the Nexon, people love Dark and Darker, and like I think a lot of people are putting blinders on and being like, listen, especially because of Nexon, right? Like, look, Nexon goes back to MapleStory. I'm a huge gamer myself. I'm a super closet goblin. I play games all the time, so I completely understand where people are coming from with the Nexon thing and like the MapleStory stuff, the pay-to-win mechanics, the mobile games, all of it. Basically, the opinion of Nexon in English-speaking countries is extremely negative, and people are using that reality in combination with the really honestly like positive PR spin that Iron Maze has been putting on their Discord. Iron Maze recently just posted this like whole long thing disputing this, even using ChatGPT-3 to show that like you could develop a game similar. I just don't think, I've read that whole response. I didn't go through it in this video because I just don't think it holds a lot of water. I think that what is actually legally being said here is much more important. Just understanding that this is, that most of what, I mean, Iron Maze might not completely understand what they're fighting themselves. They may think that this is like, and basically what they're responding to with that huge, this is what I'm referring to. Let's see if I can find this specifically. Is the this post here? It's like a really long character concepts post. We'll just pull up like the paint here. And I mean, I can't even show you all of it, but it goes on and on and on. There's been other YouTube videos that go through this. You can also join the Dark and Darker Discord to see this. But you can see that like. There is a summary here at the end which says, it's difficult to believe that Nexon in good faith could reasonably believe that Iron Maze has infringed the copyright. There's no actual evidence Iron Maze misappropriated trade secret information from the creation, but instead based on circumstantial claims. They accuse Iron Maze of a flagrant breach of Valve's rules, basically around DMCA, but we don't think they did it. And we think that this is baseless, okay? But that's really addressing the DMCA claim itself, which is like that this is an IP infringement and not really the trade secret claim, which is kind of like the way bigger issue, right? Now, is it DMCA, is it IP infringement? Like that's like going to be for courts to decide. That's a whole nother issue that I think has to be sorted out. Who knows? Yeah. And that leads to number five, which is like there could be a settlement where IM and Nexon just agree. A lot of court cases don't go to set precedent. This one I think is likely to because Nexon stands to lose a lot if corporations could do this. So I don't know if Nexon settles here. Apparently, allegedly, Iron Maze has claimed that Nexon came to them and said, like, hey, we might be willing to settle on this. So maybe that's happened, maybe it hasn't. But Nexon might be less likely to settle on this because if they do, this might set the precedent that other people can leave their corporation and other corporations like them and go build these games. So I think that this going to court is actually pretty likely in Korea. And but settlements are always possible. Like, IM and Nexon could just be like, hey, give us this percentage of profits, or let us run the game, or come back to Dexon and work for it under us under these certain, like, there's a million different things that could happen. Or, hey, we just want this amount of money and then we'll go away. Who knows, right? There could be a settlement. But I actually think this is not very likely. I think Dexon is pretty confident in their win. I think they understand the statute. I think they've got big lawyer teams, and the lawyers have been like, you've got a slam dunk case. You're going to be very likely to win this. Take the fight to them. And number six is something that a lot of, I have seen you guys, some of you guys that are the big Dark and Darker supporters admit this, is that Nexon just burns IM out of resources. Like, so this is super possible, right? Nexon is a $20 billion company, and they just go, hey, okay, cool. We're just going to lock this up in court until IM dies, right? We'll keep the game off Steam. As of yet, Steam has, or IM, Iron Mace has only had public playtests for free. And so the playtests haven't made them any money. There's no microtransactions. There's no shop. So we don't know how Nexon is getting their money. Sorry, how Iron Mace is getting their money. It could be as simple as those two people that left Nexon are taking their paychecks and running this on rice and beans, and like there's no investor money. It could be that like allegedly Hive put in $500,000. We don't know how much money they have, but what we do know is that Nexon has more. Nexon has a lot more. So if Nexon really wants to, and this is one of the reasons why I think like a partial or total win for Nexon is likely, even if the courts don't rule in their favor, which they again have a lot of precedent to do, Nexon just burn them out. Nexon's like, yeah, you know, we're going to keep them in court for 2 years. They can't release their game. It's not going to be on Steam. Public interest is going to die eventually in this. Like, there'll be a cult following of people that are on the Dark and Darker subreddit that are like, I want to play a Ranger. There'll still be that, right? But, like, this, like, real big hype that's, like, kind of been invented by Twitch and YouTube around this game, justified hype, like, is going to kind of burn out. And Nexon just waits for it and just waits for it to die, right? This is, like, a big, typical corporation stuff. We got more lawyers. We're going to bring them all in, sit them down, and filibuster. Like, all right, let's talk about all, like, let's read everything in this statute to the whole court, and now I'm going to read it backwards. And now I'm going to read it in English. And now I'm going to read it in Korean. Now I'm going to read it in the ancient Korean language that was first invented by this great emperor. Now I'm going to read it in Japanese, just in case there's someone in the audience that needs to hear that. And now we're going to read it backwards in the ancient Korean. Anyways, it just keeps going on and on and on until everyone's like, Iron Mace is like, we don't have anybody. We can't fight this. And it's over. That's it. Like Iron Mace just shuts down. Entirely possible. So unfortunately, friends, in summary, unfortunately, really does seem likely that this fight is going to go to Nexon. I'm so sorry. I mean, again, like, okay, again, I'm pulling up the Steam. 72 hours. That was in like 4 days. Like, 5 days of whatever that playtest was, okay? Like, I'm there with you. I love this game. I also love the mission that Iron Mace has, where they're going out and they're saying, look, we believe in like a world of like, if you even just go to Iron Mace's website, it's just so cool what their like messaging is. It's like, look, like gaming has changed. It's not as cool as it used to be. We're just a group of people that are disappointed to see exploitative practices and casinos in games. The reason why the public is behind these people, the reason why they have the hearts of gamers, as they say, is because their mission is so good, especially against like the greedy. This is literally a David and Goliath story. This is biblical, man. It goes all the way back to like the evil big corporation, the giant, right, fighting the little person that everybody's sort of rooting for. And it's so unlikely that little person is going to win because they're little and they can't beat the big giant, right? And maybe they'll use the sling and they'll throw it in the eye and the giant will fall over and everybody will cheer and that person will become king, right? That's the old biblical story that everybody is kind of hoping happens here, okay? But that's a story. Most of the time, the giant's just like, ooh, little human, right? And just absolutely crushes the person, okay? And that's likely what's going to happen. I'm sorry. That's what's going to happen probably here, right? Like, especially in a South Korean law system, maybe in the United States where like individual rights are more of a thing. It's like, hey, like, okay, this is kind of like a non-compete issue. It's going to depend on the state you were in. It's going to depend on a bunch of issues. But here, like that's like individual rights stuff. In Korea, they're going to be like, all right, what's the statute say? Did you steal it? It kind of looks the same, man. Yeah. And did you work there? Did like half of your team work there? Okay. Like, would you have had this idea if you hadn't worked there? All right, get out of here. Right? Like, that's the most likely outcome. And as a result, I truly don't know if we are going to see Dark and Darker ever again. And that's really sad because I was going to main game this thing. My main game right now, and it has been for 4,500 hours, has been Path of Exile. I love that game. I think it speaks back to the old OG stuff about gaming. Dark and Darker, I was going to switch to it. I was going to probably main game Dark and Darker and just play that game. And I loved it. Now I'm looking into Albion Online because I truly just like don't see the future for Dark and Darker. I really hope that I'm wrong. But the claims from Nexon seem pretty legit. and they have a lot going on. So I hope that people can take this video as what it is, which is a lot of work put in 45 minutes to try to explain exactly what the situation is as non-biased as possible from a person who really loves Dark and Darker and loves the mission of this company. Like, dude, I reached out to Dark and Darker. My agency, Novo, was like, we will run your entire brand marketing for free before all this stuff dropped. And by the way, that offer is still legit. we would just run it. We would run their marketing campaign and I wouldn't take a percentage of it because which is our standard monetization model, because I'm so passionate about this game just existing, right? So I'm 100% there. But man, it doesn't look good. It just does not look good. Oh, okay. So that's sad because gaming, hopefully the one thing from this, right, is that people have seen the need for a video game that has that authenticity, that has that old feel to it, that has real risk and stakes and is not about like exploitative practices. And then there's enough people that see that and go, this could be a huge deal. This could be very popular. We could still make a lot of money, but we don't have to do these like casino loot box practices that have just become so exhausting in modern gaming. We don't have to do these super handheld experiences where you have a skill tree that goes through 25 levels and there's really four choices, but there's only one, like a game that won't be mentioned, right? That was mentioned in this video. Okay, like we are instead going to make a game that is intentionally very difficult, that isn't easy to solve, and there's a lot of people waiting for a game like that, and the people that have been waiting for that game for 10 years. So please release it. Okay, if you're listening to this video, I know a lot of game developers listen to my channel. It works. It's a good model. But in the meantime, we could only hope that Dark and Darker sorts this out. And unfortunately, it's unlikely to be so. Hey, that's the video. That's the truth. Because that's what you come here for. If you liked it, follow. Even if you don't like it, you might want to follow because you might want the real information instead of like the bias you see everywhere, which is like, oh, I love this thing. But it's and because I love it, it's this person is wrong. That's not how the real world works. We've got to be real. So I try to keep this channel real. And if I've done that successfully or unsuccessfully, let me know in the comments. Thank you, everybody, for taking 46 minutes of your life to listen to this video about a subject you obviously care a lot about. And I appreciate you, and I'll see you again very soon.